Welcome to another in a series of podcasts with CA. I'm Michael Johnson. On today's podcast, Overcoming Network Management Challenges in the Government, our featured guests are Gnanish Dholakia, who's a Senior Product Marketing Manager at CA, and Jim Metzler, Vice President of Ashton Metzler & Associates. I began by asking Jim, what changes do you see occurring in the business environment?
Well, actually, Michael, I see a number of challenges in the business environment. As recently as 9/11, it seems to all be about cost. How do I cut costs? How do I manage costs? How do I reduce costs? However we stated it, that was the number one issue back then. And I'm not trying to say that managing cost is not still important. It absolutely is. But Michael, I see a number of other trends and other factors being as important as managing costs. A couple of examples of those being improving customer satisfaction, streamlining business processes. They're, for most of my clients, most of the customers I deal with, as important as cost management. But there are other trends also, Michael, that have to be understood and considered. One of which is the distribution of functionality really out of headquarters, either around the country or around the globe. So for example, it's common for a high-tech company in the U.S. to not just do R&D, say, in Silicon Valley, but to follow the talent. So maybe do R&D in Austin, Texas, or Boston, Massachusetts, because of the schools that are located there. So taking that function and distributing, in this case, in search of talent. We're all familiar with the idea of taking functionality, such as a call center, and distributing it, say, to a Vietnam, or to the Philippines, or to India, based in part on cost savings. But in the case of India, there's some talent there that their people are also trying to go and attract and retain. Taking manufacturing and moving it, say, to a Mexico or other parts maybe of Eastern Europe. And while this is all happening on an incremental basis, Michael, companies are becoming more and more reliant on information to run their key business processes, particularly as they distribute the resources out of headquarters and around the country or even around the globe.
So what's happening in the applications environment when it comes to this?
Well, you know, Michael, that's perhaps at least as dynamic as the business environment. Of course, there's a linkage there. The applications exist to support these trends in the business. So what we're seeing here is some technologies have remained vitally important. Mainframes are a good example of that. You know, Michael, today 80% of the world's business transactions are processed on mainframes. So here's a technology that's been around for a while. It's around today. It'll be around tomorrow. On the other hand, which is curious to me, I just talked about from a business perspective how we're taking functions, R&D, manufacturing, and distributing it around the country, around the world. We're doing just the opposite. With IT, we're doing consolidation. We're taking service out of branch offices and putting them inside a smaller number of data centers. In particular, what we're doing is taking service out of branch offices, putting them into data centers, and in many cases, reducing the number of data centers. Not down to one. That's not a good thing from a disaster recovery perspective. But a lot of my clients are saying, I can't afford to have 10, 20, 30 data centers around the globe. I'm going to cut down to a smaller number. At the same time those trends are happening, there's an ongoing deployment of delay-sensitive applications. Voice over IP is a great example. We've been doing steady deployment of that over the last 3, 4, 5 years. Today, the majority of companies do at least some voice over IP. And video streaming is important today. But I see that becoming all the more so. We can think of YouTube as this cute kind of thing that, you know, the kids in college do, etc. It's beginning to make entrees into the enterprise, not just YouTube, but enhanced use of video. Again, a very delay-sensitive application. And the architectures that we use to create these applications, we still have the monolithic type of application, sometimes running on a mainframe. For a while, we've had N-tier, 2-, 3-, 4-tier applications, and now we're steadily moving towards a world of a services-oriented architecture with web services, which is further distributing application into multiple data centers.
So what effects are these trends going to have on the network itself?
Well, again, there's kind of a waterfall effect here, Michael. I mean, the applications are changing to support the business trends, and the network is changing to support the applications and the business trends, because the network exists for that purpose, to support applications and businesses. Now, it wasn't that long ago the network has thought of plumbing. Just give me big, fat, dumb pipes. What more do I want? And the answer today is you want quite a few things to support those kinds of applications and business trends we just talked about. So, for example, I mentioned delay-sensitive applications. And by the way, voice over IP and video, that's just two examples. We have these delay-sensitive applications, so we need quality of service. And quality of service is, I have to make sure that these delay-sensitive applications perform well when the network gets congested. Security is a huge concern. The last 2, 3, 4 years, that's become something not only we talk about, but we focus on and we spend resources to make sure it occurs. We've moved our approach to storage. It used to be a direct attached storage. Every device had their own storage. Incredibly inefficient. And for a whole variety of reasons, we're storing more and more information that means that kind of inefficiency is just unacceptable. And we're finding that some of these new applications are called, referred to as chatty, which means they send lots of information back and forth for a single transaction. So we're putting more intelligence into the network to deal with those kinds of applications. We're putting in intelligence like caching or compression or protocol acceleration to make these applications, which were typically designed, Michael, to run on a high-speed, low-latency local area network and are now running on a relatively low-capacity, high-delay, wide-area network to make them run better. And analogously, we're putting in application front ends. This goes back to the old SNA environment of front-end processors. We're saying, gee, all these servers, they're bogged down doing certain types of processing. A good example is processing SSL traffic. As opposed to bogging down those general-purpose servers, can I put in some specialized devices that are designed to do just that and do that very, very well? So it's becoming a much more intelligent network, Michael.
So let's put it all together. What does it really mean for network management?
At the highest level, and I'll drill down, it means that network management is becoming increasingly more important and increasingly more complex. Let's peel that apart just a little bit. It says if you're doing management, you really need a view of a lot of pieces of IT. It's not just how's my wide area network doing or how is my local area network doing. We understand the applications, the servers, the databases, all of these things, because they all impact our ability to meet those business trends. And as I mentioned, the complexity that's growing in terms of all the different types of applications, the mainframe, the end tier, the web services based, and those specialized devices that I mentioned, whether they're doing protocol acceleration or they're doing some kind of security, more and more devices are going into this increasingly intelligent network. We need to be able to get insight into this because companies are running their business on the network. We need insight to both anticipate concerns before they occur, or if we are in a reactionary mode, get the information as quickly as we can to resolve problems. And it's really interesting, Michael. I see some evidence that IT budgets are going up a little bit. I don't see much evidence at all that the headcount in IT organizations are increasing. So the same number of people have to do the same things they're doing today in terms of supporting that infrastructure, but dealing with all of these new challenges. So we drastically have to improve the productivity of the IT organization.
So Jim, I know that dealing with government agencies is always a unique animal. Tell me a little bit about what is unique about the network management challenges for government agencies in particular.
Well, you know, Mike, a few minutes ago, I talked in terms of some general trends of the importance of improving customer service. And you think of that in terms of some of the large retails or banks or other things, but I'm seeing that happen very much in the government. It's relatively common now to be able to go online and get a driver's license and other things. We used to go and stand in line for several hours. So I see the government responding to a lot of the same kind of trends, one of which is around customer service and making it easier for citizens to obtain key government services. Obviously, following 9/11, the government established policies to strengthen the preparedness of the U.S., to protect us against threatened or actual domestic terrorist attacks and major disasters. And that continues to be top of mind in the government, and I think we're all very thankful that it is. The government, though, is also deploying a whole variety of e-business initiatives, in part to do what I talked about in terms of making it easier for citizens to gain access to services, but in some cases, making it easier for government employees to book travel and do things they need to do to become more efficient. So I see the government trying to offer better services to the citizens, to do a better job on some national security types of issues, to actually become more efficient, and certainly to provide for our disaster management, again, whether that's a natural disaster or whether it's some kind of a terrorist kind of attack.
Tell me what criteria that IT organizations should look at when selecting network management solutions.
Well, you know, Michael, the first word that comes to mind when you ask me that question is integration. And I say that because as long as network management remains as individual silos, and people are getting a snapshot of this and a snapshot of that, they will not be able to proactively manage IT, and they won't even be able to do a good job of reactively responding to a problem. So we need a high level of integration between tools that are used to manage the various components of the infrastructure as well as the applications. So that's certainly one thing. Moving on, the network is becoming increasingly heterogeneous. I mentioned a variety of types of appliances, some to put in a branch office to do caching or compression, some to put in a data center to do SSL offload or an AFE type functions to produce security over here and there. We have a growing number of devices, typically from a multitude of vendors. So to be able to support, again, that range of functionality and a range of vendors is growing in importance. We want to be able to understand the interdependencies. Gee, a certain router is having a problem. Is that affecting a business-critical application? If so, I want to focus on that right now. If it's not affecting a business-critical application, I'll get to it, but I want to make sure I have my energies on those applications that are really driving the business and bringing revenue in today. And I alluded to it before, Michael, in terms of reporting, but that's an easy, somewhat simple word. We need somewhat sophisticated reporting so that the technologists who worry about the bits and bytes, who might worry about delay or jitter or packet loss, they get all the information they need. But when the IT organization is talking to a business manager, the vice president of sales, we're not talking about bits and bytes and delay and jitter. We're talking in business metrics that make sense. So reporting that gives us both worlds, if you will. The information that technologists need to get their job done, but also business-relevant information so that we can align IT with business and show the true value of IT to the people that fund IT, and that's the company's business and functional managers.
So what is CA's overall strategy in this?
CA's overall strategy is to unify and simplify the enterprise IT management. It's coined EITM. This EITM really is CA's vision for how to dynamically manage and secure the IT environments, enabling these organizations that Jim has been talking about to realize the full potential of IT as a source of business value. So, you know, EITM really provides the foundation for the integration, again, going back to what Jim has been talking about in terms of selection criteria and sharing of services and data that allow these organizations to run all of their IT assets and resources in a nice and unified manner. You know, this approach makes it possible to integrate the management of networks, your systems, the storage, databases, applications, security, as well as it provides you a way to measure, optimize, and demonstrate the impact of IT on the organization's goals like it was never done before.
Okay, Agnanish, maybe you can talk about some of the key benefits of where CA's network management solutions might help in the government agencies' cases.
Absolutely, Micah. Where CA comes in, it provides some tremendous value to government agencies, both at the state and the local level and at the federal level. You know, what CA provides is the ability to do effective service level management and proactive service assurance. What this does for this government agencies is that it allows them to offer better service to their citizens or to their employees. The other aspect that CA provides is rapid problem identification and resolution. Every time they run into a situation, not sure what is going on, where the problem is, it is absolutely required to quickly find out what the root cause of the problem is, see where the issue is, so they can have the right data in the right context to be able to fix it and provide the service that is expected from them. And finally, capacity planning. This is another area which you may need to either upgrade or downsize some of your capacity, and it's important to have that view. Having said that, you must pretty much that some of the other vendors provide point products that are either only providing you fault network capabilities or performance capabilities, or they only have offering that is not quite scalable or not integrated for that matter, which increases the complexity, increases the operational cost and the risk when you're rolling out new government initiatives. But in what CA is really the only vendor that provides an integrated end-to-end proactive service assurance of multi-vendor, multi-technology converged networks that really includes both the legacy voice and the voice over IP. I strongly recommend you to visit ca.com/network for more details about CA's offering.
That was Gnanish Dholakia, Senior Product Marketing Manager at CA. He was also joined by Jim Metzler, Vice President of Ashton Metzler & Associates. This podcast has been brought to you by CA, Transforming IT Management. Join us again next time. I'm Michael Johnson.